You know, when my wife and I first were being called into God's church, we watched Mr. Herbert Armstrong speak quite often. And one of the things he was known to say quite often, I think everybody that's been around a long time or been around a while will remember, he said, "Don't take my word for it. Pick up your Bible, dust it off, and read it for yourself. Prove it for yourself." That stuck with me. That was what I kind of coined it personally as the Armstrong Challenge. And if you take the challenge seriously and you try to prove it for yourself, you know, what was being said, and you look into the Bible, you take it seriously, you're going to lose. Because guess what? It's all true. Now, a lot of people say, kind of rumor has it, P.T. Barnum also coined a phrase, "A sucker is born every minute." Now, whether or not that's true, I don't know. But a sucker is, and I think at one time or another in most of our lives, we've all been suckers. So I think a lot of us here have bought it maybe new or used car. So you walk onto the car lot, right? And all of a sudden, here comes this bright, smiling face walking out to you. And that person has only one thought in mind. I want to make sure this person gets the best car for the lowest price. Is that it, right? Okay. You're all laughing. Why not? Well, with the recent elections that just passed, and I think this was kind of one of the more intense election years we've ever had, I don't care if you had a TV or radio, if you don't look at anything, you couldn't avoid the onslaught of ads. And they call them attack ads. Right? Very, very few times did I hear anybody talking about what they're actually going to do, but what the other guy that's running against them has done in the past. This is a bad person. Well, if all these bad people are really in office right now, we are in terrible shape. I'm telling you. Have you ever clipped a coupon out of the paper for low cost oil change? Clip it out, $12.99 low cost oil change. You drive your car down there, you know, you pull into the garage, you go and sit in the waiting room, you're watching maybe football on TV, and the guy comes in and says, "Oh, you know, all your filters are bad, and this belt and that belt's bad, and oh, by the way, your motor mounts are gone. You're going to lose your." So by the time, have you ever really paid $12.99 for an oil change? You know, it's just a ploy to get you in so they can tell you everything else that's wrong with your vehicle. If you haven't guessed, the topic or subject line of today's message is deception. Deception. Having come from, in my past career, having been in sales, I don't care what form of sales it is, there's training. They're going to teach you how to do this. And some of the training, they never call it deception. Oh, no. Avoid that word with all costs. They call it spin. Wait a minute, spin? Okay. And they want to get into your head. They want you to agree with everything they say. They want you to, do you agree? Would you agree with me? It's pretty funny, really, when you think about it. They want you to make the decision that they're trying to get you to make. Title of today's message, very, very simple. Don't be deceived. And we're going to look at several forms of deception. And there really are. There's more than one. Now, when you say deception, some people might think lying. Well, you know what? To be deceptive, you don't always have to lie. You know, don't say something that should have been said, and you might be deceptive. Say something in a different tone, and you might be deceiving somebody, turning them around. Let's turn over to our first scripture right now, brethren. Let's turn over to James. Let's turn over to James, James 1. James 1, I'm going to start reading in verse 12. "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted of God,' for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Verse 15, then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Key scripture here. Verse 16, do not be deceived, my brethren. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. There are a lot of things that really sparkle and shine here. You know, a lot of deals out there. You buy a house, well, I'm not going to take somebody's word for it. I'm going to have a home inspection. I'm going to make sure I'm getting what I'm paying for. If I'm buying a used car, I'm going to take it down to my mechanic as long as he's not the one that was going to charge me $12.99 for an oil change and have it inspected. Verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creation or his creatures. So let's look at, actually, you say deception or deceived to those here today. And really, one of the first thoughts in my mind anyway that comes is when Satan deceived Eve. So let's turn back to Genesis 3. Let's turn back to Genesis 3. And in Genesis 3, starting in verse 11, and he said, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat? Now, God is he makes the rules. Everything that God is, says, does, everything he puts before us is perfect. Everything, he is the boss. He is our Father. He is the one that sets forth everything we should do. Then the man said, the woman who you gave to me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate. And the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. But I want you to notice something. Now, I'm not going to ask you to turn there, but in 1 Timothy 2, 2:14, and Adam was not deceived. Adam wasn't deceived. He didn't fall for Satan's deception. Eve did. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being deceived, fell into transgression. Now, going back to Genesis 3, now picking up in verse 17, God said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife. Now, you basically went with the flow. You saw something, you knew it was wrong, you didn't heed my voice, you weren't deceived. You did this. That's the deception that Satan, it carries over. It affects more than just you, more than just myself. It affects those around us. Because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. What's the consequence of doing these things? Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Now let's look at another aspect of being deceived. And 2 Timothy, turn over to 2 Timothy quickly. 2 Timothy 3. Second Timothy 3, and starting in verse 13. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving, and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise. Now, that's the key right there, to make you wise. Because I'm thinking most of us, I know myself especially, I can think of numerous examples where I was taken. Afterwards, you kind of feel like you got that big old loser. Oh, man, what? I fell for it. And again, picking up in verse 15, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, wisdom is the key right there. Wisdom, discernment, very much like Mr. Armstrong admonished many of us to do. Don't take his word for it. Prove it. You don't have to turn there. I'll read it from my notes. Mark 13, verse 1. Then as he went out of the temple, one of the disciples said to him, "Teacher, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here." And Jesus answered them, began to say, "Take heed that no one deceive you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and will deceive many. But you, when you hear of wars and rumors of war, do not be troubled." Do not be troubled. As the end gets closer, deception, and I think we've all seen it in our lifetime. If you're over the age of 20, you're pretty much there. We've seen this world change where the deception, the corruption has just increased, and it seems like it's doing it on a very compounded level. I want to read a short excerpt from the church booklet, Transforming Your Life, The Process of Conversion. You can find this on page 6 and 7. It's a section entitled Disobedience is Natural. Pardon me. Disobedience is Natural. Now, reading from the church booklet, lawlessness, the key ingredient in the counterfeit righteousness of these fraudulent gospels, is a natural expression of what we call human nature. Paul wrote that the sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. And you can find some of this in Romans 8, verses 7 and 8. Our natural inclination is to obey God, but to resist him and his way of life. As a result, alternatives to the true message of Christ have been devised to accommodate the natural human unwillingness to live by God's commandments. Most people who accept these lawless precepts are no doubt serious. They kind of believe it, but they just take it for granted. Have they proved it? No, they're just, it's a lot easier than what we do, isn't it? They have accepted and believe a fraudulent message that has been passed off on humanity for centuries. Continuing again, the delusion is incredibly powerful. Paul predicts its effects near the time of the end, as I said earlier, that as things increase, the end is growing near. Or as the end is growing near, these things will increase. The coming of the lawless one is according to the work of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them a strong delusion that they should believe the lie. And that's confirmed in 2 Thessalonians 2, 9 through 11. Under the influence of Satan, continuing in the booklet, under the influence of Satan, the God of this age, which is Satan, mankind has been thoroughly blinded. The devil's unseen power so dominates humanity that the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. You can find that 1 John 5, verse 19. Many people have accepted, I would go a little farther and say, most people have accepted that counterfeit gospel and a corrupted idea of what true conversion really is. Now, let's look at something that is, I think, just as serious, because, again, we're going to look at several different means of deception. What about deceiving ourselves? Does that happen? Have we deceived ourselves? Let's turn over to Luke 18. Luke 18, and we'll begin in verse 9. Also, he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not as much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me. Now, who are we most like? Who are we most like? Are we admitting what we're doing, or are we deceiving ourselves in thinking that, hey, you know, look how much I've grown since I've came into God's truth, or whatever the case may be. I'm doing pretty good. You know, look at Joe over there. He's not real. I'm doing better than Joe, so I must be doing all right. I mean, are we deceiving ourselves? In that parable, who deceived themselves? You don't have to turn there. In Deuteronomy 11, and starting in verse 16, take heed to yourselves, lest your heart be deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. That's what happens when we deceive ourselves, or we're deceived, maybe by someone else. Verse 17, lest the Lord's anger be aroused against you, and he shut up the heavens so that there can be no rain, and the land yield no produce, and you perish quickly from the good land which the Lord is giving you. There are consequences to being deceived. There are consequences to deceiving yourself, or maybe even deceiving others. Have we held something back in our life? You know, have we been on that deceiving end where we've said something that, we didn't lie, and I'm being very careful in the way I'm saying this, but we didn't say everything we may have should. Have we deceived somebody in the past? Recently, maybe? It's up for each one of us to decide, and I'm not sitting here trying to accuse, but we need to consider these things. We don't want to be on that receiving end of deception, but we don't want to be on that giving end of deception. We know that Satan has deceived the whole. He's the master of deception. He's the one that created the concept. He knows every button to push, everything that tickles our fancy, where we can be led astray. Now, I'm going to turn to Obadiah. I'm not going to ask you to, because I'm sure that's one of the books that a lot of folks don't really, and there's only one chapter in Obadiah. So Obadiah 1, and this is a vision. Obadiah 1, starting in verse 1, the vision of Obadiah. Thus says the Lord God concerning Edom. We have heard a report from the Lord, and a messenger has been sent among the nations, saying, arise. And let us rise up against her for battle. Behold, I will make you small among the nations. You shall be greatly despised. The pride of your heart has deceived you. You who dwell on the cliffs of the rocks, whose habitation is on high, you who say in your heart, who will bring me down to the ground? Verse 4. Though you ascend as high as an eagle, and though you set your nest among the stars, from there I will bring you down, says the Lord. That's pretty obvious that there are consequences for deceiving ourselves or falling into deception. It's pretty obvious that there are things that we need to correct, that things we can't participate in. And again, touching on deceiving themselves. Deceiving ourselves. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3, and we're going to start in verse 18. I didn't want to have this many scriptures, but there was a lot of information that I feel is very vital to point out when it comes to deception. This has been a fascinating Bible study. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 18. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. Wisdom plays a part in this. Wisdom plays a part in this. When you're deceived, when somebody gets the better of you, I don't know about you, but I feel pretty foolish. I don't feel very wise when it's, oh, I've been had. I'd much rather do my homework and not be sitting there feeling kind of dumb. Verse 19, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. Verse 21, therefore let no one boast in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death, these or this present age, nor things to come, all are yours. Now, as we begin to wind down just a little bit, I want to change subjects because there are things we can never eliminate deception. We're all vulnerable. Something that affects each one of us. There are people out there right now trying to figure out how to get into your pocket, and there's Satan trying to figure out how to get into your head and how to get into your soul so he can turn you away from the truth. So what we need to look at, ways we can at least battle, be prepared to see deception when it's knocking on our door. 1 John, let's turn over to 1 John as we begin to wrap up. 1 John 1, and beginning in verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, I'm good. I'm doing great things. We deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. How can we overcome this? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What's even worse, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and the word is not in us. Now, I'm going to turn back to James 1 one more time. There's a lot of good points to be found there. James 1, and this time we're going to look at start in verse 22. James 1 and verse 22. Things we can do to kind of overcome the potential influences of deception. James 1 and verse 22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. If we're not doing what God has put in front of us, if we're not serving others, if we're not doing the things we need to be doing, we're deceiving ourselves. I pay my tithes. I go to services on Saturday. I don't work past sunset. I do all the good things, but I'm not an active participant. But be you doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. Hey, I'm doing great. I see myself, walks away. I don't really see what I'm doing. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pretty clear. It's pretty clear. We can't be deceiving ourselves. We can't be deceiving ourselves. In Matthew, you don't have to turn there as I begin to get into my last few scriptures. Matthew 24, verses 5 and 6. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. We can be deceived. We can be among those who will deceive many. Ephesians 5, verses 6 and 7. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. And you can, again, write this down. Romans 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, again, this is it, prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Don't take it for granted. Prove it. A scripture Mr. Armstrong used to point to quite often, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 21, Test all things. This is how we can avoid being deceived, spiritually deceived. In the world, there are everybody out there looking for ways to get into our pocket, get into our head, get one over on us. We don't want Satan to be able to do that to us spiritually. Test all things. Hold fast to what is good. And as I was saying, James is a wealth of information. How do we battle? How do we at least defend ourselves? James 1, beginning in verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, when you've been deceived, when somebody's pulled one over, I feel pretty foolish. I feel like I'm lacking wisdom. This is when we need to get out on our knees. We need to prove things, but we also need to ask our God, who promises right here. He'll give it to you liberally. Let him ask God, who gives to all liberally without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith without doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. So again, brethren, as Mr. Armstrong used to say, don't take anybody's word for it. Don't take anybody's word for it. Test all things. Prove all things. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. It's very destructive.